Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hi, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreitcher, and I will be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program. This program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about both Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting program, after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org, or you can join us on Facebook or Twitter. Also, we're promoting Google Plus now and a lot of the other social media outlets. If you're interested in any of the upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts, you can also find our list of what's coming up there or anything on archived as well as there. I want to thank our last guest, Lindsay Foster, when we talked about the fact that scouts can do their best. She was on the show last Thursday. That would have been September 27th. It was a wonderful show, and I strongly encourage people to go back and listen to that. September was a great month for Autism and Scouting Radio. It was our third month of being around, and we actually had the most shows that we ever had. We actually had a total of 8 different shows, which covered a wide variety of topics, which included 2 unique scouting troops, Troop 5280 out of Denver, Colorado, and also Crew 88 out of St. Charles, Illinois. Both of them are very unique crew units. I strongly encourage you, again, go back and take a look at that. We talked to many scout leaders throughout the month with a wide range of topics, including fundraising and a whole bunch of other things. We're just not stopping there. In fact, we're just going to get stronger and stronger, and we're committed to providing a wide range of support for scouts on the autism spectrum when it comes to their growth and advancement. Today we have a second part of our talk on advancement. Last Wednesday we actually had Karen Mansfield, a scout master from Denver, Colorado. We talked a lot last week about the difference between an accommodation and an alteration in a requirement. We're going to talk a little bit about, again, that today. That was a wonderful, and this is kind of our second part of that piece. We're joined by Tony May. He's the BSA National Chair for Special Needs Scouting and is also the webmaster for Working with Scouts with Disabilities, or WWSWD.org. Strongly encourage you to go there. Tomorrow, Wednesday the 4th, we're talking Girl Scouts. We'll have our first show dedicated to Girl Scouts, so I strongly encourage you to tune in for that as well. Next week, we're going to be talking about bullying in relation to National Bullying Awareness Month, which is October. So we strongly, obviously, encourage you to tune into those as well. Today, we have Tony May coming back, big supporter of Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program. Today, we're going to talk advancement as well as what ISAP is. And we have a ton of stuff, so why don't we just bring Tony on. Welcome, Tony.
Hi there, John. Boy, I tell you, you've got had a really large amount of good information you're putting out in those interviews. I'm glad to hear that Karen was on. I worked with her at the Disability Awareness Challenge back in 2010, and she's a dynamo.
Yeah, she's an amazing scouter, and she's amazing what they're doing in Denver. I tell people that's probably the best-kept secret in all of scouting, as far as Boy Scouts.
Okay.
So I definitely, if people don't know, it's a transitional unit. They work with scouts, transitioning them from Cub Scouts into a traditional unit, I strongly encourage you to go listen to that. It's amazing. And then last week we talked about advancement, and that's what we're going to talk about today. As far as there's a difference between what an alteration in a requirement is and a modification and also an accommodation. Can you talk to those topics?
Okay. You have to be careful here because semantics will kill us if we're not careful.
Right.
What I will be speaking to is basically, Boy Scouts of America policy as now available to all of us in the Guide to Advancement. That's Form 33088, which you can actually download online from scouting.org. Or you can buy it in hard copy. I'm going to be referring probably in response to a number of the topics today to Section 10.0.0.0, which is the specific policy relative to scouts who have disabilities.
I'm very familiar with that one. I've read that one over quite a bit.
Yes. I'll tell you what, it's 1,000% improvement over what we had prior to last fall, so that's good. Because it puts a lot of the key things which I and some of my compatriots have been putting out as far as here are the guidelines you need to follow. In terms of advancement requirements, if you're in the Cub Scout program, it's really easy. Basically, the primary indicator of whether a requirement has been met is, did the scout do his best? And that makes it really easy. In terms of if there's something you just flat out can't do, substituting an elective requirement that's similar to that or as challenging for the youth can be agreed to by the Cub Master, and away they go. There isn't a real documentation process in the Cub Scout program. Let me shift gears now. I'm focusing on the Boy Scout program in particular because of the documentation that's necessary for a youth to attain the rank of Eagle. Throughout the process, there are specific requirements that have to be met. I mean, first and foremost, before we even talk accommodation or modification, those are the two terms that they use. Now, let me define those first. Modification is basically changing a requirement, either in part or in total. Accommodation, on the other hand, the existing requirement remains, but the scout is enabled to meet that requirement, or rather, the intent of that requirement, by an alternative means. Classic example is cycling merit badge. It doesn't say bicycling, it doesn't say tricycling, it doesn't say unicycling either. So if a scout who has a specific different ability cannot use a regular two-wheel bicycle, he could use a bicycle with training wheels, or he could use a tricycle and still meet the requirement. But the intent is that they have to do cycling for a specific distance and also know about how to maintain and repair a bicycle and things like that. Okay, that's one method of accommodation. A classic accommodation that I've used as an example, and this goes back to an old requirement for a specific merit badge, environmental science, which used to require a 500-word essay summarizing the results of a scout's observations over a 5-day period of a specific
area
in the woods, let's say. I had a scout who part of his disability was his inability to write an essay. My suggestion to the counselor was, okay, what's the intent of this requirement? The intent was to analyze the observations and arrive at a summary of what did he see and what did it mean?
Right.
Okay. It's not a test of whether he can write or not. I said, this young man is quite verbal. Why don't you ask him to tell you in his own words, in 500 words, the results of his observations? He did that with gusto. In fact, I think the counselor finally, after about 15 minutes, said, you know, I think you got 500 words, and I think you all obviously understood what you were doing, and you did the analysis, you're good. Again, intent. I think I've probably gone... I'm using merit badges as an example, and that's probably a dangerous one to use. In terms of Boy Scout advancement, there are certain things that you can modify and some things that you can't. Merit badges are an example of requirements that cannot be modified. That's not to say you can't accommodate the scout, but you cannot modify the requirement.
Right.
One
of the biggest things that we keep on hearing is the swimming portion of the second class and the first class swimming.
Yeah.
Because those are two where it holds up a lot of scouts. In Karen's contention last week was that if you provide the scout with, say, a swim noodle or a kickboard, that would, as long as the intent was that completed, that would follow into the intent of the requirement as an accommodation. What would your thought be on that?
Okay, that is probably a gray area. I will come back to a comment I think I made in an earlier interview about the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You have to treat each individual just as an individual, and the appropriate accommodation or modification for that individual is specific. It may be very unique.
Mm-hmm.
One of the requirements, I mean, I'm sure Karen followed the process of, first of all, I mean, the process at the Boy Scout level is fairly explicit.
Right.
The first thing you have to do is essentially have the individual classified as having a disability as defined by Boy Scout policy.
Right.
And I'll come back to that. Once you've got that disability classification, you then have to come up with a modification of a given requirement at the tenderfoot, second class, and first class level. That needs to be put together probably best by a team of the parents, maybe a professional who knows the individual's capabilities. That could be a health professional or an educational one. The scoutmaster and the youth, for that matter, and come up with, okay, here's a requirement that is as challenging for Johnny as the normal requirement is for anyone else. That proposal actually has to be approved at the council level. So it's a bureaucratic process, but if you've got a council where you have people who understand special needs scouting, chances are, if you follow the process, when it gets up there, they're not going to say, I mean, they're not going to nitpick it. They're probably going to say, yes, this is good. We approve it. Go forward. Okay.
That's an alteration in the requirement, right?
Right. In terms of, to be on the safe side, so you get going, that's one place where accommodating, technically, you probably ought to follow the process for that, too. Although I have to, I'll readily admit that over the years, I mean, I've as a Scoutmaster, applied common sense to accommodate a youth's learning style or something of that
right.
nature, and didn't worry so much about getting into the documentation until we got to the point where, okay, wait a minute, this Scout cannot do this, or in fact, doing this requirement, one will create a significant failure or may even be health-threatening. At that point, yes, you've got a backup, and you very clearly need to make sure you follow the process. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what kind of documentation would you use?
Okay, that goes back to that process that I started with. In other words, documenting that the Scout does have a Boy Scout classified disability, and it just so happens that we have a model for doing that.
And tell us what that model is.
Well, let's see now. In education, they call it an IEP. In Boy Scouting, they call it an ISAP, Individualized Scouting Advancement or Achievement Plan. And before I'll anticipate your next question, it is formally recognized by the BSA. If you look at Section 10.2.0.0 in the Guide to Advancement, it speaks to the advancement flexibility allowed, and it very clearly refers you to the Scouting with Youth with Disabilities Manual. That's the document number 34059, which the only place you can get that now is online at scouting.org. And in there, now you're going to have to follow me on this one, Chapter 10, Roman numeral 10, Appendix entitled Fact Sheets and Forms. If you go to Section E, that is the ISAP format. Okay, that's the official line. If you want to go to my website, you can and go into the documents for downloading. You can find the ISAP in there. It's in a Word document format.
That'd probably be the easiest way for people to access the ISAP.
I would suggest going there first to get it. It's been out there for over 10 years, and I know of a number of councils that's what they've used as their documentation all along. And now the Guide to Advancement formally recognizes that further. The manual I referred to came out in 2007, and it specifically uses the ISAP format. Okay, why is that format important? Well, it very clearly walks the individual through all the steps that you need to document that, yes, the Scout has a disability that qualifies as a disability for purposes of advancement, and you've got a doctor's approval and justification. You could also have an educator's documentation or certification. Ultimately, there's going to be a medical component to this because, you know, when you're in the education field, you do have certain medical diagnoses that, if you will, trigger the educational eligibility. So the two of them are hand in hand. There's a flow chart that I've developed, and it's now used in the presentation that the advancement committee is using to teach the mechanics of advancement. And that is another one of those things that I have not yet put on my website, but it's about to get up there because it's a very straightforward flow chart with decision points, and ultimately it covers the process that a scout, his parents, the scoutmaster need to follow to get and document any changes to the requirements.
From what I understand, too, before a scout can go and get an alteration going through this process, they need to do all of the requirements for that particular rank that they can physically do themselves.
Yeah, the basic policy was to complete as much of the requirements as they
right.
can until they reach the point where they can't.
Right.
Okay. My practical guidance is, okay, yeah, we will follow, you know, the national policy, but we also need to be realistic and practical. I mean, part of the scouting program is to allow the youth to fail safely and then to learn from that and move forward. If we're talking about something where we know going in that an individual physically cannot do a requirement, we need to be proactive.
Right.
And go before they get to the point where they've done everything short of that requirement, get the wheels moving, get that classification, and come up with an alternative from a practical standpoint.
One thing, once they get the classification also, typically, then they can apply for extensions and things like that.
Right.
I'd love to have you come back on again at some point and we can talk specifically about extensions because that would take up a whole show in and of itself. But that was something that people should understand is once they get that classification, then it opens up a whole variety of other avenues for the scout as well.
Right. And again, I keep coming back to the idea when you get down to the specific requirements, those ultimately would wind up being individually tailored for the youth who has a disability. And the one key criterion for those alternate requirements is that they be as challenging for the scout as the replaced requirement is for anyone else. That could be a specific requirement, a tenderfoot second class, first class, or that could be an Eagle required merit badge. Those are the only places in Boy Scouts where they can, in fact, change the requirement. Star, Life, and Eagle, they must meet the requirements for those ranks. The only modification would be for Eagle required merit badges.
Well, I think that's because once you get to, someone once told me, all the learning gets done up until first class, and then after first class, more about teaching other scouts.
Right. And it's experience, it's leadership, and
right.
service. Yes.
As far as what is the methodology of the ISAP? I mean, can you walk us? We have about 6 minutes left. I know that's probably not very much time to go over it, but what is kind of some of the areas of the ISAP that you focus on?
Okay. Well, I think what I'll do, rather than go into the exact ISAP, I'm going to do a quick walk through the flow chart.
Oh, that's perfect.
Because that pretty much tells you how you need to go through this and do this. Okay, let me make sure I get the right flow chart because I've got about four of them here. The first point is there needs to be a disability diagnosis, so that's the obvious piece. You have two choices. One is go through a medical assessment, basically use the BSA physical forms for that, or an educational assessment, in which case you would use the IEP forms. So that's where it becomes very individual. Given that, In either case, you need to document the scout's strengths and limitations. What can they do? At the end, once you've got to the bottom of that, you have the either the doctor's certification or the educational administrator's certification, which then goes in, that would then confirm that, yes, disability is documented. When you get to the ISAP, or when you start filling that out, there basically you're going to have places for signatures for each of the individuals, and statements. For example, going through the medical piece, you would have the doctor's signature that, yes, John has Down syndrome, which in turn means that he has specific physical and mental limitations or cognitive limitations, and pointing out, okay, he's really strong when it comes to music and lyrics, so he can read, or better yet, he can in fact understand the his receptive language is excellent, but he has a hard time expressing himself verbally. In other words, it's in there, but he's having a hard time getting it out. So accommodations for this young man need to take that into consideration. If you go over to the educational side, you may have a parallel diagnosis, a parallel summary of the individual's strengths and limitations. Again, there needs to be a signature by, for example, the person who signs the IEP as the administrator. You need the parent's signature. You also need the scoutmaster's signature on this form. And then the form at that point would be sent forward to a district advancement committee, who would then review it and pass it along to with their recommendations, pass it along to the council advancement committee that would make the formal determination that, yes, we agree that this scout has a disability and should be classified as such. That's the straightforward process within the ISAP. It's not unheard of to try to kill two birds with one stone, that while you're going through that, you may say, oh, and by the way, there are certain requirements at tenderfoot, second class, or first class that this young man physically cannot do, or cognitively this is going to be very challenging, and here are some recommended alternate requirements. So that when this gets to the council level, the council can, one, or the advancement committee can, one, vote on yes, or make the determination that, yes, this scout has a disability, and, oh, by the way, the following recommended alternate requirements are also approved. So then you've got the scout one ready to go and work and complete his first class rank, ultimately.
How's that, John? That way it gets both things get kind of fast-tracked on the same path.
Right. So he doesn't wind up having to go through the process twice in a very bureaucratic manner.
Right. We have about 1 minute left. I guarantee you next time we'll have longer, because we're going to be expanding. We'll have up to 2 hours to talk, but we won't go that long. But anyways, you have 1 minute. Last thoughts on this subject.
Well, advancement is an opportunity for the young man. And I'm probably going to let me throw out a charged comment. Advancement through the ranks in Boy Scouting for any youth is an opportunity and a challenge. It is not a given that every scout will attain the rank of Eagle, or Light, or Star.
Right.
It is, however, hoped, desired, wished, absolutely encouraged that every youth reach the rank of first-class scout. The simple reason being that if once a scout reaches that rank, they basically have learned all of the survival skills that scouting offers at the basic level. And what more would any of our youth, be they abled or disabled, want to attain? I mean, this is a very important place to be.
Thank you. That's great words to leave on. Thank you so much again, Tony. It's always a pleasure. We look forward to having you back. And thank you much, and have a great day, guys.
You too. Thank you.